McGill Daily of the Daily.
I'm McGill Daily.
Hi, I'm calling from the McGill Daily. Can I ask you some questions?
This is a little bit diplomatic.
News. Can you design?
Could I see you for a second?
We're going to cap this.
News, can you dummy?
Did that story come in yet?
Editorial's in 5 minutes.
McGill Daily.
I'm fit to pray.
You are listening to Unfit to Print, a McGill Daily and CKUT News collaboration. This is Anya Sivajothi. Unfit to Print is a student-produced bi-weekly show that brings the latest of McGill and Montreal news. On today's program, we'll be hearing from some of the organizers from the panel discussion held last week called Mood Lighting, Illuminating Consent in Res, which was aimed to answer questions and add to the Res project workshops that students in residences attended. The panelists addressed topics such as the role and challenges of consent in sexual activity and day-to-day life. In the interview, we'll be hearing from one of the panelists, Talia Gruber and Cadence O'Neill, who takes care of the public awareness strategy at SEED, Social Equity and Diversity Education Office at McGill. Then we'll be hearing from Raphael Frigon and Kira Shepherd, who will be bringing a preview of Cuperg and SMU's Culture Shock Week, an event series on anti-racism, migrant justice, and Indigenous solidarity, which will be starting this Thursday. But first, headlines. This September, during Frosh Week, the McGill Cryptocurrency Club, MCC, initiated a Bitcoin airdrop, handing out paper envelopes with vouchers for Bitcoin, a form of digital currency, to be redeemed within 3 months. According to Michael Gord, a U4 management student and co-founder of MCC, over $1,000 in Bitcoin have been given away to McGill students to date, with around a 50% claim rate. After months of consultation with Peer Support Center and other mental health organizations on campus, the Student Society of McGill University executives have developed a proposal to create a permanent space in the Shatner Building dedicated to mental health. The PSC, formerly known as the Peer Support Network, PSN, was until recently a student group on campus without any affiliation to McGill or to SMU. This September, the PSC applied to become a SMU club and was granted interim status. The PSC will be eligible for full club status in January. Between October 26th and 30th, Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights, SPHR Concordia, organized a week-long campaign dedicated to raising awareness about the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, BDS. BDS Week was the first of its kind at Concordia and features speakers such as Kanahea activist Clifton Nicholas, human rights attorney and activist Nora Irakat, and Palestine-based independent journalist Dan Cohen. The week also featured musical performances by Saeed Kamju, Julian Otavi, and J.K. Pickett as part of the Howl Fall event series. Now we'll be hearing an interview with the panel moderator of last week's Mood Lighting, Illuminating Consent in Res panel discussion, Talia Gruber, and Cadence O'Neill, who works with the Public Awareness Strategy at SEED, the Social Equity and Diversity Education Office at McGill.
Hi, I'm Cadence. I work at the SEED office. I'm the communications and events person for the Public Awareness Strategy, which is a new campaign through the SEED office.
I'm Talia. I am the Special Projects Coordinator for SACOM, the Sexual Assault Center. I'm also on the SAP, the Sexual Assault Policy Proposal Working Group. And I moderated the panel that was last week.
Okay, so do you want to talk about the panel a bit and the event in general, I guess?
Just sure. Background. I mean, if you want to give some background,
sure.
Cadence.
Yeah, so the Mood Lighting panel on consent in McGill residences was, it's an event that has been in the works for a few months. Basically, as part of the campaign that the SEED office started last year, called Public Education is for Everyone. And so this campaign is basically trying to provide more accessible education, both like in written form, video form, and in event forms, to students around McGill who might not have access to kind of equity and diversity like education work. And so this panel on consent and res was kind of conceptualized as a follow-up to Res Project, which is a residences-wide workshop series that every student in first-year residences gets the opportunity to take, which talks about gender and sexuality and consent and sexual assault in residences. And so we kind of conceptualized this panel at SEED as kind of a follow-up so that students could come, ask questions, learn more about the things that they kind of got a first glance at in that workshop, and Talia was the moderator for that panel, so yeah.
Yeah, so you mentioned Res Project, but did this event only start this year, and Res Project is an ongoing yearly thing that's been happening for a while?
Yeah.
Okay. And is this sort of just held in one residence, or do you guys go around similar to Res Project?
This was just a one-off event. So this is just, like, anyone who wants to come to this one workshop can come and learn more about, yeah. But it wasn't a mandatory event for all resident students. It was just a voluntary thing.
Do you find that most of the audience would be Res students, or do you get a lot of other people as well?
To be honest, the turnout for this event wasn't huge, but I think definitely it was promoted mostly in Res. We had a couple first-year students. I think that, like, the publicizing strategy was mostly to Res students and floor fellows.
Okay. So why, I guess, is it important to cover consent specifically with residents being the context, I guess?
Yeah. That's a huge question. I think Res Project does a really good start with that. I mean, and that's something that maybe other people can speak to better than me, but I mean, like, as an introduction, I think Res Project does a great job with consent training, just, like, to get a basic level of, like, fostering safer spaces in residence communities, like, what is acceptable and not acceptable in terms of, like, your conduct with other people and, like, how you behave with people in a space and, like, what is required of you as, like, a person engaging in, like, sexual behavior in Res. That's really important. This was cool because we got to sort of expand on that a little, because Res Project doesn't always encompass everything. Like, you get a lot of questions when you facilitate Res Project, you know, like, what happens when there's alcohol? That's the biggest thing I think that we get facilitating is, like, well, what if I'm intoxicated? Like, you just said that consent isn't there if there's drugs or alcohol. So talking about that a little further was really, I think, the most important thing of this. We always get questions in Res Project too about, like, if I want to file a complaint, or, like, what would it look like if I wanted to pursue action? And I think that's something that got to be covered a little more here, which was really cool.
And I guess I'm assuming when you talk about consent and stuff, it's mostly assumed in, like, a sexual context or with, like, sexual activities, but what sort of ways can consent play out in just, like, day-to-day activities, especially within Res?
Yeah, I think that was something else that was covered at the panel too. Something that students weren't so much aware of was how much Res Project focused on consent in everyday life and not just in, like, sexual practices. So, like, even when you meet someone on the street, asking, like, can I give you a hug before you do that? Like, not assuming that everybody sort of, like, wants to be touched or, like, wants to engage with you in a certain way, regardless of, like, sexual connotations, just in, like, an everyday life capacity. So that was something that we unpacked too, which was really cool. In Res, like, as a floor fellow, we try to role model consent in everyday life too with students. So, like, we would never walk into somebody's room right away, right? Like, you would stop at the door and be like, is it okay if I come in? Things like that. I think that, like, those are basic things that when you do Res Project, students are thinking, oh, well, like, you know, sexual assault, I have to be careful. But it's so much more than that, which was cool about this panel, too.
And how do you sort of work with the subtleties of that in the gray areas? I'm assuming maybe you got a lot of questions regarding that.
In the panel, you mean?
Yeah.
That was really cool too, because all of these people, like, we all work together really closely, but we don't actually ever get to, like, sit down and talk to each other about things all the time, which is really cool. I think with alcohol specifically, the main thing that came across was just that it requires more communication than, I mean, every situation requires a ton of communication, but especially when, like, people are intoxicated, it involves, like, a lot more awareness of where your headspace is and where the other person's headspace is. So instead of just saying, like, in Res Project, we sort of just say, well, there's no consent if there's alcohol, and we leave it at that. And here we sort of open that up a little bit and said, well, like, we recognize that that's a thing. We recognize that, like, people might be intoxicated and there are drugs and alcohol in Res, and that's going to be a thing. But it's really about, like, recognizing where you're at, where your headspace is, and making that even more clear, like, asking every step of the way what you're, like, if what you're doing is okay, and putting the onus on the person who initiates conduct or, like, initiate sexual conduct in any way to, like, be required to receive that sort of mm-hmm. consent, which was cool.
Okay, and who are the facilitators, I guess, who do the RES project, and also this event that happened? Do you do trainings for them, or do you...
So RES project is run through McGill Residences mm-hmm. and RES Life, and so facilitators are volunteers who... I think is it true that all floor fellows have to facilitate RES project, but additionally, like, volunteers who are, you know, students or community members around McGill can kind of, like, apply to be a facilitator, and then they go through training. But that training is not done through SEED. SEED offers other equity-related trainings, but, this specific event was, like, organized by SEED in collaboration with RES Project, with RES Project and RES Life, but RES Life pretty much does RES Project on their own, yeah.
Okay, and I guess beyond this event, if anyone wanted to get more support or had more questions about consent, is there, like, a particular place that you can sort of guide them to, or are there any other resources that they can look at?
Yeah, there are a bunch. I mean, shameless promo for SACOMS, but obviously SACOMS Sexual Assault Center has ample amounts of resources on consent. The Res Life office too is pretty great for that. Bianca, who is the harm reduction liaison mm-hmm. officer, just hired or is working with a social work intern, Brittany. She was on the panel, the SEED panel too, and she's really great, like, with any questions, especially for first years. The SEED office too, I'm sure, has mm-hmm. tons of stuff.
Yeah, the SEED office doesn't do a whole lot around sexual assault and consent mm-hmm. education, just because, like, a lot of student groups have it pretty down. We put out about 15 short videos that are meant to be, like, educational videos around different themes related to making McGill more accessible, enjoyable for everyone who, like, is in this space or wants to be in this space. And a couple of those videos, at least one or two, focus on making, like, McGill safer and more supportive for survivors of sexual assault. I would highly recommend people check those out, and you can see them on mcgill.ca/edu4all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. And you mentioned that there were future events mm-hmm. that were being planned for further in the year, so did you want to talk about those?
Yeah, so these are still in the beginning stages. Next semester there will be two events. One is going to be focused on race at McGill and kind of issues around, like, closed spaces. So this is kind of coming out of the context of last year. Queer McGill held an event that was a closed workshop, a workshop only for queer and trans people of color, and there was a lot of backlash around mm-hmm. that, and a lot of people, both, like, white queer people, but also, like, a lot of, mostly white people, but, like, white queer people and white straight people were like, this, what? I can't come to this event. That's reverse racism and that's heterophobia, stuff like this. And so there was not a whole lot of ability last year at SEED to provide a kind of, like, a full response to that backlash and to kind of really provide education on, like, why closed spaces are important, why mm-hmm. workshops like that are very important. And so we kind of want to be able to preempt backlash like that this year by holding a panel next semester on like the experience of racialized students at McGill, but also the importance of closed spaces. And so we're going to be screening a film by Shaina Agbayani, who made this short film called Race at McGill, and it's a bunch of interviews with students of color and faculty of color at McGill, and it's really great film. And so that'll be next semester, but the date isn't set yet. And the second event will be a panel event and discussion around making safer spaces at Mac campus. So SEED, this is kind of coming from the perspective of SEED not having a huge presence out at Mac campus and mm-hmm. being very, like, both physically and promotionally located downtown and kind of wanting to reach out to Mac campus, and so that's being worked on as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess that's pretty much for the interview. So thank you so much.
You just finished hearing Talia Gruber and Cadence O'Neill, who spoke at last week's panel discussion called Illuminating Consent in Res. We'll now be hearing from Raphael Frigon and Kira Shepherd, who will be speaking about the workshops and events that will be held starting this Thursday as part of QPIRG's Culture Shock event series.
I'm Raphael Frigon, I'm the Outreach and Promotion Coordinator at QPIRG McGill.
I'm Kira Shepherd, I'm the Campus Outreach and Promotions Coordinator at QPIRG.
So Culture Shock is starting this week. Could you maybe give like a basic outline or a description about the event?
So Culture Shock is an event series on anti-racism and migrant justice and Indigenous solidarity. And so we have like one keynote, which is with Walid Marisha, who is the author of Walid's Broad. And it's a completion of like speculative fiction around like people of color and imagining different futures, and it's kind of inspired from the works of Octavia Butler, and it's also looking at what's possible, because activism and organizing is like, you know, difficult labor, and we're dealing with things that are, you know, intense, and it's a way for us to go and say, oh, there's other stuff, and this is why we're doing the work we're doing. And I think it's a different outlook on organizing and activism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you know which day that event's happening?
So the keynote is going to happen on the November 7th at 5 p.m. at Centre Culturel Georges Vanier.
Okay.
Which is by Metro Lionel Groulx.
Okay. So how long has Culture Shock been happening, and how long is the event happening for?
I think it's been 10 years. It started out organized by the SMU, because it's a co-production with the SMU. Maybe I should start that again. So Culture Shock has been existing for 10 years. At first it was solely organized by the SMU. And QPIRG McGill was brought on later on to help organize. And it went on from like a week-long programming to a shorter 4-day series of event. And it's mostly a workshop. And there's kind of two goals within Culture Shock. One of it is to give a space for people of color, Indigenous people, to speak to one another and be empowered and create things and have workshops. And in this capacity, like, QPIRG McGill serves to give this space and facilitate those things. And there's also a second goal that is more to show to the McGill community, but also the community at large, that like these are the communities of color that exist in the city, and they've been here for a long time, and you know, this is what they're trying to tell you about their existence that otherwise you might not realize. And so it's also an opportunity to give a voice and speak to a broader community.
Mm-hmm. And maybe you can give a description of the workshops that are happening, but how like, also, how did you choose the workshops that are being held for Culture Shock?
Yeah, I guess we are going to have to choose a few to talk about.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot.
One I really like is, like, the Envisioning Futures, One of Color, Media Maker.
Mm.
Do you want to talk about this one? Or, I don't know, and or I can talk about it. Or, you, okay, so we choose workshop also based on like what happened in previous years and who was interesting and who, depending on the feedback we got, but also we go and solicitate people. And for example, like the Anti-Racism 101 Breaking Things Down is a workshop that has been happening in some fashion for a few years, and It's an anti-racism 101. We discuss like what is the difference between non-racist and anti-racist. We break down terms like oppression, white supremacy when it comes to race, and it's also historical, but it's also part of it is theory, but it's also things that you can apply to life, and it's very practical. And there's other workshops like writing ourselves into existence on navigating Black Muslim Somali womanhood, which is a workshop and a zine launch. And this workshop was not, it's a new workshop this year at Culture Shock. And we heard about this zine that was launched. We heard through our networks. And so we went and contacted the people that wrote this zine, and They have like really interesting things to say, and they're very eloquent. And it's a workshop about, like, you know, making a zine is about to giving a voice for yourself and autonomy and being able to speak of your own voice and your own representation. And it's a, I think that this workshop, it's a space to discuss and share their own narratives. And so it's a closed workshop for women of color. And it's also a zine launch for this zine that is like 60 pages long. It covers a lot of things. And I'm very excited about this one. It looks really good. It's by Sumaya and Yasmin. And yeah, I've been meeting with them, like, and I've always been like amazed at what, yeah, they're proposing and they're bringing. And yeah, it looks, yeah.
I mean, I'm really excited about the decolonization workshop, which I think there's typically one around this, something around decolonization and Indigenous solidarity every year at Culture Shock. And it sort of teaches people about Indigenous histories and sort of strives to build this cultural solidarity and a dialogue between different people. So that's one that I'm super excited about.
So Talamon has been interested in proposing a workshop, and at first I was like, we kind of like talked about the workshop, and I didn't really know what it was about. I know it was like talk about the Syrian refugee crisis. But
what is Talamon?
Talamon is, it's a working group at CUPUG McGill. Wait, give me a second. You have to listen to the thing. I have like the description for Talamon. Okay. Talamon is a Montreal-based collective which works in solidarity with the struggle for self-determination, equality, and justice in the Middle East market, in the diaspora community in Montreal and beyond. So it's a working group at CUPUG McGill, and they proposed to us this workshop, and it's about, like, you know, the Syrian refugee crisis and what it really is. And because we've been sold this idea of the Syrian refugee crisis through media, but it's also about exploring what is really the refugee crisis and what are the reasons behind the determinant, and what are the underlying conditions that led this massive migration to happen. And it's also about, like, you know, looking deeper into what is really happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds really interesting too. Actually,
I'm so excited for all of these.
I understand there's also a workshop that you're holding that's being co-hosted with the Union for Gender Empowerment. Did you want to speak about that one? Do you guys normally hold something with them every year, or is it just this year?
That is specific to this year. And it's basically because they have a really amazing speaker, Joshua Allen, coming in for the keynote of their event that they're holding called Transformations, which is happening right around the same time as our event. So we just sort of decided to do a cross-promotion with them and sort of include Joshua Allen in our programming as well. I believe they're doing a workshop too, right?
Yes.
The speaker.
Wait. What?
They are.
Yes. There's two events. There's like organizing at the intersection of Black Lives Matter and gender justice, which is happening in the Smoot building on Friday. Mm. And what else? There's also the co-presentation, which I think is the keynote of transformation. And so it's called A World Without Cages, Reimagining Gender, Abolition and Resistance. And that's happening on Friday?
Friday, November 6th at 6 p.m. At SIDA.
Events seem to be around science fiction writing, so is there a theme that's going on with the events?
The theme this year is science fiction, that was inspired by Walida's talk, I believe.
So Walida's keynote is titled Seers, Time Travelers, and Intergalactic Troublemaker. And it's a keynote on radical organizing as seen through the lens of science fiction. And I think the keynote kind of gave an energy and a direction to all of Culture Shock. And it's we're trying to see organizing and activism and social justice as a way to build a better world, as a way to make, because the world, as Walida says in her keynote, like the world we are organizing and working toward are world that don't exist yet, and in that sense it is science fiction. And so yeah, it's kind of given the energy and the direction of Culture Shock this year. So for example, we're having this this workshop with Nikki Shafula from Toronto. It's kind of a workshop for QTPOC, people of color, to talk about, take an old story and edit it and transform it and do some surgery on the story and make it and transform it and make it something new. And the workshop is called The Old Stories Project / Science Fiction Story Surgery. And it's happening on Sunday, and it's gonna be at the TNC Theater on the campus. And yeah, I don't know, that seems very exciting. And so yeah, it's workshop, theater, improv, and yeah, I'm really, this, like, you know, sci-fi and social justice. I would, like, if you pitch it to me like 3 months ago, I wouldn't have believed it. But now I'm like, really, this totally makes sense. It's like the greatest thing in the world. And you know, instead of like being, because sometimes it can be really difficult to organize, and we're faced with difficult issues, and it, you know, it gets at you, especially in November when, you know, the sun is coming, you know, the night is coming early, and it's depressing. But like this series of events is really like making me, so yeah, it's about making ourselves feel hopeful and yeah, looking forward to the future.
Yeah, that's amazing. So who's your intended audience for these workshops that are being held? Are they mostly for McGill students, or is it open to anyone?
It's open to anyone. It's free, and we strive to be as accessible as possible. And all our workshops, all events are wheelchair accessible. We have ASL, Sign Language Interpretation. we're trying to have some traduction chuchotée en français. And what else? Yeah,
childcare is available. Child care is
available. Yes. And events are, spaces are sent free. Yeah, we're making lots of effort to make as accessible as possible. And yeah, to, so that like everyone can come. It's open to both like McGill community, but larger Montreal community as well. Mm-hmm. So we have like our keynote outside of McGill. We have it at,
yeah, and it really depends on the workshop as well, because we have some closed discussion groups that are really for people to talk about their own experiences with people who are experiencing similar things. But we also have like very introductory educational workshops for people who are just sort of interested in like the social justice issues that are happening in Montreal, who are maybe new to Montreal or Canada and sort of don't know the history. So it really, it sort of spans a broad group of people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I think those are like pretty much all the questions that I have. Did you want to say anything else at the end?
I kind of want to add a little something to like the what is Culture Shock.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you sort of talked about like the aim of it, but sort of like what it actually is. It's basically a series of workshops, film screenings, panels, and fundraiser parties that is open to McGill students and the general Montreal public. And everything is, we sort of already said this, everything is accessible and free and open to the public.
That was Raphael Frigon and Kira Shepherd, who spoke about the Culture Shock events that will be happening later this week. To find out more, you can visit kupergmcgill.org/cultureshock, or also find the events posted on Facebook. That does it for this edition of Unfit to Print on CKUT 90.3 FM. Make sure to tune in 2 weeks from now to check out our next episode, and in the meantime, check out our previous coverage and podcasts on mcgilldaily.com/podcasts.